for quite a few years now, people have been excited by the articles that say things like data is the new oil, thinking that this is going to be a source of additional revenue for companies that they didn't have in the past. But I think when you look at the reality of it, I would almost say that data is the new grease rather than the new oil, because it really keeps those wheels moving.
Welcome to the Manufacturing the Future podcast, the show designed to help you future-proof your manufacturing operations. Each episode features interviews with innovative manufacturing leaders and subject matter experts who share their insights and best practices about the technology that can empower you to streamline operations, prepare your organization for what lies ahead, and continue to keep our world turning. I'm your host, Carrie Jordan, Vice President of Product Management at Epicor. Now, for today's episode.
Hi, everyone, and thank you for listening. I'm your host, Carrie Jordan. Welcome to our show where we hear from experts leading the manufacturing industry into the future. Today, I'm speaking with Lynn Schneider, who serves as the research director at IDC, which is a premier global provider of market intelligence, advisory services, and events for the information technology, telecommunications, and consumer technology markets. IDC has more than 1,300 analysts. It operates globally and as an organization has been providing strategic insights for more than 50 years. My guest, Lynn Schneider, as the research director at IDC, leads the data as a service and location and geospatial intelligence sectors. Now, on this show, we are so often talking about the power of data in manufacturing. So I am very much looking forward to this conversation. Lynn has a focus on the evolving landscape of data sourcing, delivery services, aggregating platforms, and marketplace trends for data and solution combinations. Her expertise also includes data analytics, visualization, and supporting technologies. Lynn, welcome, and thank you for joining the show.
Oh, Carrie, thanks so much for having me today. I'm really looking forward to our conversation.
So am I. Okay, so first, could you share a bit about your background and what your day-to-day is like in the role at IDC?
Sure. So first of all, let me define a little of what we think of data as a service. So I'm usually talking with folks, and that varies from vendors to end users, about data that they buy, sell, or trade across enterprise borders. So it might be sharing data with a partner in your supply chain, or it might be sourcing totally external data about something like the weather.
Interesting. Okay, that sounds really fascinating. I can imagine how business leaders find that data to be really helpful and of value to the organization as they're making decisions on a day-to-day basis. How did you choose this area of focus, and what led you to this role within IDC?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of funny. I have a background in general management consulting. So I worked with all kinds of different organizations. And most immediately, before coming to IDC, I helped provide research and background for CFOs. And CFOs, right, we think of them as having all the financial numbers, but I think that ambitious and interested CFOs want to go beyond that, not just look at finance, but what else is impacting the business? What helps them forecast? What helps them plan? What helps them be that strategic advisor that improves operations? So when there was this opportunity at IDC to look at data really broadly, I was just really excited by that. Kind of a data nerd at heart.
I think a lot of us can relate to that, myself included. That's wonderful. Okay, so from your experience, really looking forward to getting to hear some of the trends that you're seeing. How about those trends that you're seeing in data sourcing and delivery services? What's going on out there in the industry?
Yeah, so I think for quite a few years now, people have been excited by the articles that say things like data is the new oil, thinking that this is going to be a source of additional revenue for companies that they didn't have in the past. But I think when you look at the reality of it, I would almost say that data is the new grease rather than the new oil, because it really keeps those wheels moving. It helps you be more efficient. And the places where data can provide value are not just in that office of the CFO, or not just some sort of statistical process control, right, to see if things are out of tolerance or what have you. It can inform all parts of your operations, everything from how to get the right people, how to change their skills, sourcing materials, watching things delivered across your supply chain and out to your customers. Like, there are just so many possibilities. And I think what's happened trend-wise is people are thinking more about the value of data, the data that they have. How do I get a hold of it? How do I monetize maybe something from it? But also, what am I missing? What would help me complete this picture, which is really the sourcing side when it comes to getting data? Even something I mentioned, weather data, a little earlier, there are so many operations that are impacted by weather. If you were looking at delivery schedules, it's helpful to know the weather because that changes your travel times.
Yeah, good point. I could absolutely see how that would be of so much importance. And I love that you described data as the grease, because I could totally see that it really helps make everything much more efficient when you can have visibility into the organization in such a way. You talked about the value of data as well. So let's get to monetizing data, because there are a lot of opportunities out there. How do you see companies pursuing a data monetization strategy to help drive business value?
Sure. Well, one thing first, definitionally, when I think about data monetization, I think about external data monetization. So sure, there are a lot of opportunities to get better value from your data internally, improve your processes, decrease your risks, things like that. But when I think about external value, how can my company, how can my organization bring in more revenue because of my data? There are two main avenues to pursue. I think the one that people think of first is, oh, I'm going to sell my data, right? It's really valuable. People said it's our greatest asset. I'm sure someone wants to pay for it. Well, okay, there may be someone who wants to pay for it. But I think the other thing to consider is, where else can my data be deployed to gather value outside my organization? So, for example, right, I'm no longer going to sell just HVAC systems that I made. I'm going to sell an HVAC system that can capture operational data, and I'm going to use that data to provide additional value to that same customer about how to operate this machine more efficiently. And so I've monetized my data by making the product that I manufacture more valuable and also stickier. Who wants to switch to another provider where they may not get that data and information that helps them improve?
Yeah, that's so interesting. And that reminds me of some of the business leaders that I've been speaking with recently in regards to different ways that they can leverage their data. One, for example, manufactures safety harnesses for workers. Imagine on tall skyscrapers, if something were to happen, the safety harness can call for safety services. And then another one that this reminds me of is a packaging manufacturer. As you can imagine, the packaging material can be expensive, especially when it's lost and then they have to count it as scrap. So this company actually places IoT devices to better track the location of their packaging materials so that they can recover it. And they even offer incentives to their customers or their suppliers, logistics partners to return that packaging material. So just another way that they're leveraging data as additional opportunity or business value. Okay, so I wanted to ask you another question. Actually, speaking of location-based data, that's one of the examples, right, of many different parameters of data. And you, of course, have a specialty in location and geospatial intelligence. Weather is another type. How are you seeing business leaders use this location-based data, weather data, in their operations? What are some of the advantages?
Yeah. So, you know, I think when you look at its most basic form, right, everything happens somewhere. And the where that something happens is really important. Some examples that manufacturers may use are things along supply chain and supply chain intelligence. If you want to look, there are several manufacturers who were looking, especially during the big California wildfires, at where are their suppliers vis-a-vis the route between them and the facilities where they're going to, in order to create a better risk strategy, to understand delivery timing, right? You need to have a different sort of inventory if folks are going to be driving through a location that is frequently blocked.
Yes, I see that. Okay, so in your role as an expert advisor and research director, you really connect this ecosystem of vendors, the technology providers, and those users of technology, often emerging technology. How can business leaders navigate those decisions, navigate that landscape of data providers and platforms to find solutions that really align with their needs, with their business, or with their objectives?
You know, there's some really exciting things going on right now in terms of helping people find that quote unquote right source of data. Even if I spin back the clock just 5 years, there was a lot of, well, I'm going to Google search that. I'm going to ask a consultant that I have in here. I'm going to ask my accountant. But what we're seeing more and more are a couple of trends. One is that more and more software systems that help support operations are providing pre-built connections to valuable external data, whether that's something like weather, currency exchange, it can be climate measures. For example, there's a lot of stuff that's getting more and more built into software. So you don't have to boil the ocean of possibilities. We've also seen a lot more rise in data marketplaces. So places like Amazon Data Exchange, people who use Databricks or Snowflake, Google's adding to theirs, and trade associations trying to gather up what they think would be valuable to their members.
This is so interesting. A data marketplace. Can you talk more about that? What would a company need to consider if they are looking to participate in a data marketplace?
Yeah, so I think you have two different sides of that, right? Two-sided platform, of course. If you're going to be a buyer, think about what's compatible with the kinds of software or databases that you have already. Some are specialized, as I mentioned, by trade associations, or could be even within a software that you already use. If you're thinking of monetizing your data in a data marketplace, right? You've gone through that decision that, you know what, we're going to try and sell our data to people who aren't our current customers. I know it's a little bit off topic for manufacturing, but one of the earliest case studies around this was Qantas Airlines, who said, you know what? We know more about the population of Australia than almost anyone, because there are not a lot of flight choices in Australia. And so they created a data business about the people of Australia. But you need to have something in mind, certain use cases, or certain other industries, certain types of buyers, and think about it like any other product that you'd be releasing. I know the term data product gets thrown around a lot, whether that's for internal or external use, but unfortunately, it's not a situation of, oh, if you build it, they will come, like Kevin Costner's Field of Dreams. You can't just launch something up on one of these data marketplaces and say, you know what, Snowflake or Amazon Data Exchange, they have a lot of foot traffic. Somebody will just find me. But you really need to manage it like any other offering. And that's why kind of anecdotally, we see the most success where people are either having a data business that they're selling to, where they're selling data to their existing customers. Maybe there's even a free level that comes with being a customer, and then a secondary level that people can pay for advanced analytics, or they're selling or sharing with kind of a companion industry. But to be looking at someone entirely different, you really need to put the whole product management, product marketing operation into place.
Yeah, thank you for explaining that. I mean, I do think there is a large opportunity for those who can get creative and to look into ways to monetize data and participate in a marketplace like that. So I can imagine part of the data journey is getting a handle on your data. And that is not always an easy one. So what are some of the challenges that you see business leaders having to confront when it comes to participating in a data marketplace, using data effectively? And on the flip side of that, what are some of the opportunities of effective use of data?
Yeah, so I think that being able to get a handle on your data to break down those silos between parts of the organization and that kind of ownership that there is, it's not a lot different about sharing data internally and sharing data externally. You really want to get away from the old kind of, well, Bob knows Jim knows Sally, and that's how they're going to get data transferred, right? We like to kind of think of really a couple different levels of exchanging that data. But first of all, you have to identify what there has to be a data owner and what is it that they're going to share and how are they going to explain what it is that they have. And we think of that as just kind of an exchange, a data exchange. Then a next level up in terms of sophistication might be a marketplace. And the difference between an exchange and a marketplace, an exchange, you still have to identify what that data is, where it came from, what it's good for, and who's allowed to see it or use it in what combination. But with a marketplace, then you start having more tracking and utilization features. When you're just inside your company and you're not doing chargebacks and maybe the limits are a little less strict, just exchanging data to know that it's there, that everyone's using a common definition is probably adequate. But when you start thinking about, well, we're going to share this with people outside of our walls, or we're going to go across divisions, have chargebacks, you need a kind of software that has that built in for you.
Can I ask you about data privacy and security? I mean, because so much of what you're sharing is about the exchange of data. And I imagine a lot of folks listening in are wondering, well, how do I protect my data? How do I secure anything that's private? What do you recommend?
Yeah, so it depends is not the true answer, but you've got all sorts of different privacy concerns, right? If you're dealing with HR or customer data, right, you have individuals' privacy. But when it comes to other aspects of your operations, whether that's frankly, even how your machinery is running or the proprietary formulation of your products, you really need to consider what tools will make something accessible to someone outside the organization or even someone who shouldn't be looking at it, right? You know, not everyone in the company should be able to see the HR data, right? And they can't today. But that's why a fully functional exchange or marketplace has that entitlement in place. And also usually an audit trail, so you can see what's there. Now, if you want to go another level in terms of privacy in that exchange, there are also tools sometimes referred to as data clean rooms and privacy preserving computation. Just to give an example, I was talking to someone actually at a large consumer packaged goods manufacturer who was saying they were looking for a new facility to produce something that has a proprietary formulation. And it's very difficult to assess who could do that contract manufacturing without revealing what that formula is. But they made use of a data clean room, which I think back many years ago to when there used to be just kind of a closed room with a binder in it, right? And you could go in, you could go out, but you couldn't take any note. This is kind of the electronic descendant of that, where this manufacturer was able to put the components of their formulation in there. And then all of the contract manufacturers who were bidding to produce this would put in their capabilities. But within this data clean room, the computation was run about who was a match, but that's all any of the parties saw. So the way the privacy preserving computation worked is it allowed them to contribute data, but each party was only allowed to see the result of that matching algorithm.
I see. That's interesting. Roles and privileges, you know, really locked down what they could see and could not see. That's great. A data clean room. Very interesting. Okay. So speaking of these kinds of innovative solutions to some pretty tough problems, looking out a few years, what are you most excited about as far as data technologies go? What do you think is next?
There's so much out there. I do think that using location and geospatial as an element, data analysis and creating insight is one of the next big waves. There was a time not all that long ago that people would do forecasting or they would do kind of reporting. And they wouldn't take into account the time when this happened. Now, every analysis includes time as a factor. We're at the point where considering location has been rare. Considering movement, considering what else was happening in that place is somewhat rare. And I think given advances in the amount of computation available, given all of the IoT and edge devices that are out there, even the incredibly growing number of satellites and drones, there's just so much more that can be taken in. And a lot of folks, both on the developer side and on the software side, are looking at ways for this to be simpler to incorporate. You no longer need a GIS degree and 10 years of being a PhD data scientist. There are more and more no-code and even GPT, you know, ChatGPT kinds of interfaces where you can do some of that analysis.
Fascinating. It's really interesting to see where we're all going here, especially when it comes to data technologies. So I wanted to ask you, as you have been working with so many business leaders and helping them in these kinds of very business critical data driven types of decision making, what advice do you give? And what advice would you share with somebody maybe listening in who is interested in getting a better handle on their data and then leveraging it to create new business value? Where do you recommend they start?
Yeah, some of it is that same kind of like hygiene and understanding what you have, whether that's through creating data catalogs, internal data products, that even folks who are starting to look outside for other sources or for ways to monetize their data, the first step has been to understand what they have themselves. That's really key. I think the second thing is, what do you want to be able to know? What do you want to be able to do better? Kind of pure statisticians think about, well, I'm just going to torture that data until it tells me what I want it to tell me, right? And there are many times we've done reporting or forecasting based on what data did we have. It's not really the right data, but what can we do to get that right data, to get that extra dimension? You know, there may be something here to the point about internal data versus external data. It's not efficient to gather everything yourself. There are some things, and leading back on this example of weather, right? It doesn't make sense for everybody to have a weather station at every location when it's pretty simple to procure that data, right? But what else would help improve your processes, improve your predictions, or frankly, make people's jobs easier when they need to make a decision? What are all the inputs they need?
Oh, that's great. Thank you so much for that guidance. And this has been such a great conversation. Thank you so much for sharing your insights. As we wrap up, for anyone who wants to learn more about IDC Advisory Services or to connect with you, where would you direct them?
Yeah, so the simplest thing probably is to just link in with me or take a look at idc.com website. I will put a plug in there that we are always looking for interesting stories about how manufacturers and others have been able to get additional value and monetize on their own data. So not just if you want to see what I've been publishing lately, but if you think you have a great story to tell, I'd love to talk to you.
Thank you so much. That was great. So as you heard her say, if you have a great story, please do reach out to Lynn. And thank you so much, Lynn, for being on our podcast. We really appreciate having you.
Thanks. It was great to be here.
All right. That was Lynn Schneider, Research Director at IDC, a premier global provider of market intelligence advisory services and events for data and technology professionals. And to everyone listening in, thank you for being a part of the future of manufacturing.
Thank you for listening to Manufacturing the Future, brought to you by Epicor. For the latest episodes, search for the show on your podcast platform of choice. Make sure to subscribe to get notified when a new episode is released. To learn more about Epicor, visit epicor.com.